Everyone, welcome to Glen Arbor Community Church. Happy Easter to everyone. Everyone's going to be coming in shortly, I assume. And we just thank you that you're here today. We thank Lord Jesus that you're here with us even now, and that we can spend this time together remembering what he did for us. Let's pray and start our service. Lord, thank you so much for Lord Jesus, for you going to the cross, for you dying for our sins, for raising again from the dead. Lord, because of that, we have a hope in the past, a hope in the present, and in the future, as we're going to learn about today. We just thank you that you did that, and we thank you that we can remember that, even on this very holiest of days. In your name we pray. Amen.
Morning. My name is Dean. I have just a few announcements for you today, things that are coming up in April going into May. Glad you could be here if you're visiting today. In your bulletin, we have West Chicago Blooming Fest. It's a festival the town hosts on May 20th. If you can help out with that, we're going to have a little booth there. Stop by and see us. It's only for a couple hours on Saturday morning. And if you can look, our Awana Awards ceremony is less than a month away on May 10th. If you have children in Awana, please plan on being here for that ceremony. And, of course, Wednesday is Marshmallow Night. So, upcoming events. Easter, if you look back in the scripture, what happened on Easter Sunday, Christ was crucified, was put to death on a cross on Good Friday. And some women were going, they were grieving the loss of a man they cared about, who had deeply affected their lives, and they were going to visit the tomb. They were walking to go see him, to pay their respects. And they got there, and the tomb was empty. And it was the beginning of understanding what had happened. And you are on that journey with us today. So thank you. How about if we pray together, and then we'll take our offering. God, thank you for the mystery of the resurrection on Easter Sunday, that you have power over death. Help us to understand that together today. Amen. This is the time in our service where we take the offering, so the ushers are going to come forward. This is where we can honor God with how he has blessed us financially.
object. I object. That's what a lot of people say when they think about Jesus. I wanted to read, following up with that, thank you, drama team, for putting that together. That was very, very good. I wanted to read a article from our Faith Walkers journal. This is from Terry Putoff. He's from Lone Jack, Missouri, from the Open Range Fellowship Church there. And he quotes Matthew 27:42, and he says, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and let we will believe him." He saved others, himself he cannot save. Repeat that a couple times. This is Terry speaking now. These religious people had no idea what they were saying. Is it true? Well, yes and no. It's kind of like what our courtroom was trying to determine. Is it true or isn't it? He could have saved himself. After Peter sliced off the ear of a Roman guard servant, Jesus told Peter, "Put your sword back into its place. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Yes, he could have saved himself. Why didn't he? In our courtroom here, I don't know if you noticed, but Chris was sitting here. He was Jesus being a part of this play. He didn't do anything there. Not many lines to memorize. Because then he could not save them. That's what the judge says. And they didn't know what they were saying, really. They didn't realize the condition of their belief system would leave them condemned and without hope. If Jesus would have come down from the cross or skipped it completely and gone straight back to heaven, they would have been doubly condemned, and so would we. The law required complete perfection to satisfy God's holiness. The Bible says that we have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The only one who ever lived a perfect sinless life was Jesus. Only Jesus satisfied the demands of God's righteous law. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin for our behalf, so that we might become righteousness of God in him." So, that what would have been the outcome of Jesus having saved his own life, we would be condemned. Not only by the standard of the law, but also by his perfect sinless life. Praise him today for his willingness in grace and truth to lay down his life for us so that we might truly live. Happy Easter, everyone. You might have seen yard signs that said, and there's one right down the street there. It says, "Easter brings hope." I noticed those as you've been driving around, and they're from Wheaton Bible Church, and I really like that that idea. I was really thinking about it quite a bit because on Friday we remembered what Jesus did on the cross. If you were here, and we remembered how he died on the cross. We remember the sadness of Jesus dying on the cross, and for the disciples and others that follow him, that seemed like the end. Then the third day came around, like today, and he rose again, and hallelujah, he has risen. Indeed, Easter brings hope. And when we think of Easter, sometimes we think of candy and bunnies and springtime, new things, colored eggs, and promise of things to come. New growth, as it were. But as we learned last winter, winter comes again. Summer ends, and springtime is over, and then it happens all over again. How can it bring hope after today? After Easter is over, how will it continue? What does his death and resurrection really mean to you and to me every day, and even in the wintertime? What does that mean? Well, the signs said that Easter brings hope, but hope in what? What do we have? We might think, well, a better life, you know, freedom from pain, removal of fear about the future. I say, yeah, from all those things. And I want to say what Easter really means, if I can expand a little bit about from that, not saying, I want to expand on a little bit more on what that sign is saying. Easter brings hope, but it is hope itself. If any are familiar with this verse, as soon as I turn this on and switch it, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." When we trust or have faith in His resurrection, His death and resurrection, from death into life, hope becomes what? It becomes assurance. It becomes more than hope. What is not seen becomes deep-seated conviction. If that weren't true, you wouldn't be sitting here. What changes lives of all people across time, including yours, across all your time, and that's what we're going to talk about today, we will see that that this hope can be not only now, but in your past, and in your present, and in your future, and in yours. Not just people in general, but yours specifically. This is hope beyond hope. Fulfilled. Let's pray, and then we'll dive into this. Lord, we thank you so much. We could see how you, as you were enduring being accused while humanity was trying to figure out what you were busy dying for it. Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, thank you that you died and rose again on our behalf. Thank you that you did so for our past and our present and our future. And for each one of us individually, and ask as we dive into these things that we be thinking about these things specifically for us. What does this mean to me? What does it mean to me in my past, in my present, and my future? Lord, I ask that you'd open our hearts today for that. In your name, amen. So you might say, well, why do I need to worry about the past? It's past. I've dealt with it. You know, I've got it figured out. And the truth is, everyone deals with the past mostly by trying to forget about it. It's in the past. Anything painful, there's certainly good memories that we have, but if it's a painful memory or things that we regret or hate, we tend to try to bury that. Pain and regret are real, and they reel their ugly heads at times, and it might be say things like, "Why didn't you?" "I should have." "Why did you do that?" "What can undo that?" "How will I ever pay for that?" You ever have those things in your past? At least I have these things that you think about, and they come up occasionally, and they come up as strange times, but you think about it, and then you do that little cringy thing. I wish I had not done that. Or I wish I had done this. If only. Satan likes to get us in our past. He likes to really press on those little buttons or turn the knife. He likes to accuse us in those times and make us feel like trash. One that I can think of in particular was when I was in baseball, and there was this one boy that used to taunt me quite a bit. His last name was Kelly. I don't remember his first name. But one time, we were where we weren't supposed to be, and in Little League, that's exactly right. You care everything but playing baseball. And so we were waiting for the next game, and there was behind this baseball field was this ravine, and it was about a 10-foot drop into this ravine, and somehow we were messing around, and he jumped to me, and I launched him with my legs into the ravine, and he fell pretty hard, and I felt horrible about it for many, many years afterwards, and thinking, because I really hurt him, and it was one of those things where I thought, wow, I could have killed him. Really. And there's this kind of this judgment that starts to form and says, maybe you are a killer. You start labeling yourself those things. We are our worst judges. You know, you saw Rob was up here playing the judge. And maybe you might object, but you're overruled by your own mind. We're judged by what we do or what we fail to do, but mostly by ourselves. But in those past times, He was there as surely as He's here right now. As surely as He was on the cross, He was there, and He was there when I launched the, Kelly into the air, and what was it? And as surely as he was in, maybe that's something you're thinking about right now. What does the resurrection have to do with my past? Everything. Everything. The Bible talks about that. It talks specifically about your past. It's in Isaiah 1:18. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet." Well, your sins occurred in the past, right? "They will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." First and foremost, our past sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's what this symbol is about. If not, we have no hope. However, because this happened, because for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, as we saw in the trial, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Easter means that all that bad stuff, first, is forgiven. Second, it means our value is no longer tied to our past. Now, this is the part we have trouble with, generally, is maybe you stole, but because you are forgiven, you are not a thief. See, that's the difference, is we'll say, yes, I know I did that, but I'm still a thief. I may feel like I'm a thief. Maybe you've sworn, but because your sins are washed away, you are not vile. Maybe you made a mistake, but because of the resurrection, you are not stupid. And sometimes we bring the titles from our past with us. The sin is left behind. We believe, oh yes, I'm forgiven, but I'm still at the core those things. I am a thief. I am vile. I am stupid. We may accept forgiveness, but keep the labels we believe we have earned. And that just isn't true. He washes all of that away. Well, how can that be? You were bought with a price, right? Do not become slaves of men. Do not become slaves of your own, of their labels, nor of yours. You are owned by him now. If you trust in Jesus, and at the end of the service, we're going to give you an opportunity to trust in Jesus. You are owned by him now if you have accepted him. He's determined what your value is. He has already decided what you are. He calls you adopted sons and daughters of the living God. Easter is hope that is assured that the past is taken care of. You might feel worthless or dumb or good for nothing, but I have felt, because I felt all those things. You know what I realize, though? It doesn't matter what I think or what others think. It just doesn't. It matters what he thinks. Those things may even be true. So what? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter in comparison. The game field has changed, you know. And one time we were, you could say, well, you know, in the game of baseball, let's say, you're out, right? Let's say you're out in the game of baseball. But here's Jesus comes along. Well, unfortunately, we're playing football. We're playing a different game. He's changed the game, and there is no outs. He's changed what we're doing. Like we learned last week, it says, I am an old violin, but the master came and made it new. He changed it. He tuned it, and now what became valueless has great value. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the labels say. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter if those things are true. It doesn't matter because you're owned by someone else. You're owned by Jesus. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, not an old creature. A new creature, something new. The old things have passed away. The old things have passed away, have truly passed away. He makes them go away, not just to be forgotten, but to be remembered. And now they've taken on a new definition. Now, when that time that you stole something becomes a time when you were rescued. The time where you made that mistake, that becomes where the Lord Jesus was there anyway, making it all right. And so we think about it in a different way. Not simply because the old things have passed away, they are gone, not simply because they are in the past, but because he redefined what the past is for you. What was garbage is now white as snow. What, as far as one horizon is from the other. Easter is hope realized in our past. So in the present now, Easter is hope in the present time for you as well. That means right now. Well, how can that be, Greg? I am here listening to you talk about the past and not the present. You know, I have to deal with that. And what does Jesus have for me right now? Well, that's a great question. What does he have for me right now? Because the past is gone. Here's the answer. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So what does that mean, born again, a living hope? What do these words mean? It is about change, real change, more than just losing, like losing a few pounds or getting your nails done. What if you could change a person from the inside out in one moment? Is that possible? Is it possible to redefine your past? Redefining your past certainly helps that, but what about right now? Have we ever seen examples where people were changed from the inside out after meeting Jesus? Oh, yeah. I'm going to read this to you. If you have Bibles, you can turn there. This is in Luke 5, verses 4 through 11, where you can pull out your electronics, look at it that way. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, this would be Peter, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered and said, Master, we worked all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled out to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, they fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, I love this scene. So with Peter, he just gets down. He falls down. He says, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. He realizes this is life-changing. This is really something. And in one movie, it actually says, go away from me, Lord, for I am a stupid man. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, son of Zebedee. So were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Just instantly, their lives were changed forever. It was over. This is one of many documented events in the Bible of people's lives being changed by this, not only Jesus himself, but the message. The disciples left everything. The 500 people left everything, and many of them died for this. And Mary, the prostitute, left everything and followed him. What causes a drug dealer to become a preacher? What become a pimp or hitman or fascist or communist or prostitutes or porn lords? Completely change and their style, their message, everything to, I found Jesus. How can you explain that? Is it chemicals? Is it what happened to them? Was it mind control? How can you explain a complete change around to becoming pastors and Christian leaders? Preaching a message of hope that can change a life like that. 180. That is the hope that Easter brings to the present, that people can be transformed. I was went to Michigan State University, go Spartans, and I was in this class. I don't remember the class. It was boring. I remember that. And we had been in our MSU Bible study. We were talking about just turning around and talking to people. So I turn around and talk to the class hadn't started. I turn around and talk to this gal, and turns out, I invited her to our Bible study, And she, I got to share the gospel with her, and she was starting to get involved, and then she disappeared. And so it turns out later she was a communist. And yeah, that was the time when we had them. And so that shows you how old I am. And so, or she's really a socialist. And so, but her job was to infiltrate our church, or specifically our group of students, to try to disrupt what was going on. She decided that it wasn't worth it. And later on, she contacted me a couple years ago out of the blue, and she was now a music leader in her church. She had changed 180 degrees. I was like, what? Because I barely remember. Oh, yeah, I remembered you. And what causes a transformation like that? And she said it was, she attributed it to that meeting me and meeting those people and really being changed by Christ. But really being changed by Christ. And so how do you account for a transformation like that? I can't by human means, but with Jesus, all things are possible. It's like one person died completely and just appearing as a different person, replaced them. You know, have you ever seen a person accept Christ? And often they'll say, I feel different, or I feel like things are changed. You know, that's what being born again is, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I really changed. It scared my parents, I think, because I was no longer rebellious and flunking out of school and without direction. You know, I know some of you are like, well, it's Greg Standrew. How could he have done that? He's so awesome. Well, that wasn't true before Christ. But they said, no, now you have respect and it's clear and you have direction. And we don't know what this is. I remember my mom saying this. I don't know what this is, but we like it. After that, my brothers turned to Christ, and my father recommitted his life, and it changed our whole family. There is real hope right now in the present for real change right now. Faith in who Jesus was, but also who Jesus is, that's what changes people's lives. It's understanding he is the creator and the savior of the world. And the biggest evidence of this is changed lives. You can't account for it. You can't explain it. No one can say, well, your life's not changed. That's the biggest evidence. No, it cannot be explained. It makes when people question, well, did the resurrection really happen? You cannot. One major thing is, first of all, there's nobody, but all the people died for a lie if it wasn't true. How could they have done that? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. In Romans, as it says in Romans 10:17, you have heard this message of hope yourselves. You've heard it and have changed. You can be changed today, not only in receiving Christ as your personal Savior, if you haven't before, but if you have already done that, to change today in that area you want to change in. Maybe there's an area of your life that you'd like to really redirect it. Today's the day. It lives in the present. He's here. He can do that. Maybe you want to stop being so angry at the world. Christ can change that. Maybe you want to be a better father or mother. The hope of the resurrection can change that if you want it. That can change even today in the present for our hearts to change for the better. If he can change a character like that, he can certainly fix me and you. I'm so glad he's fixed me in so many ways. I have been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20 says. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Easter is hope in the present, that there can be present change from within because of who he is and what he has done for us. So there's one more element. If you go from the past and then the present, there's what's left, the future, right? So there are two things in our future that are certain besides taxes. Did you guys remember tomorrow's tax day? You may not run out and do them now, so don't run away. Tomorrow is tax day, because it normally would fell on practically fell on Easter weekend. There are two things in the future that are certain, and that's continued life or death. Pretty certain about those two things. So for the first one, continued life, that's going to happen in the future. Who is our trust for that life? Who have we placed our trust in for that future? If we place it in ourselves, well, then how can we have the abundant? We did that before. We don't want to do that again for the future. How can we have the abundant life? The same answer as the past and present is trust him who gave it to us. In Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now the verse that talks about this is, "These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." He who died and rose again holds the key to life and abundant life. He said this as well, "The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And so we can live out our future life in one of two ways, for ourselves or for Jesus. So I'm not talking about, when I say abundant life, I'm not talking about possessions or things or stuff. If that's not the message of Jesus, it's a life of peace, of completeness, of purpose, of a future that makes sense, that is not for ourselves. We can live our future in that way, but I suggest for our future, we give it to him. If we're bought with a price and we're not our own anymore, let us live it to the fullest by emulating him. And what does that mean? This would mean dying to ourselves, not physically, but dying to just satisfying us. And that's how you really enjoy life in the future. You can see over and over again, those that have pursued themselves ultimately destroy themselves. We see that over and over and over again. If you ever want to see examples of that, just look at the checkout line, the magazines that show all the celebrities and their cruddy life. I wouldn't want to be any of those people. It is an empty, empty life to live for yourself. I find that when I live for myself, I'm selfish. It really leaves me empty. The joyous, abundant life is one lived for others. It is the others that give your life real purpose and meaning. That is our future. That is the hope and joy and message of the resurrection of Jesus. All things made in new in our hearts. That is freedom when we can be free from ourselves. We are truly living. Then we can look back and see that we followed him. That is the abundant life. The second hope is life after death in the future. Our destiny was death without Christ. Without Christ's death and the resurrection. That was our destiny. But there is this hope. This hope. So he says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but passes out of death into life." So life continues, not because of anything we have done, but because of this, because of what he did. We remembered on Friday, we threw our nails in the bucket and made loud noises. Like Ben was showing us, he objected. Loud noises. But really, in the end, there's just the peace of Christ, the death and resurrection, the equalizer. That affects our future, not just our future here, but eternally, forever. We cannot enter in to God's presence without it. If we go in to try to get into heaven with our sin intact, someone has to pay for it. Someone has to pay for it. It's either us or it's going to be Jesus. And for me, I'm like the judge. I'm going to let Jesus pay for it. He is our hope. He is our eternal future with God. And so with that, looking at this, and we looked at the past, okay? So we looked at Jesus redefined our past. We are not thieves. We are not killers. We're not vile. He redefined what we were. He redefines what we are and what we will be. All of those things, accepting that, could be the hardest part. And that's what we're going to do in this last few minutes, is it's not just the past, but it's your past, your present, and your future. And so what I'd like to do is let's pray, and I'm going to pray. If you agree with it, you can agree with it quietly in your hearts if you want to say something to the Lord Jesus. But I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation for your past, present, and future, and just for all of you. And if you agree with it, that's great. And just we're going to pray, and I'll give you a little moment to pray silently, and then I'll call the music team up. Lord, we thank you so much. Lord Jesus, I was a sinner. But because of what you did, that label, it's true that I sin, but that label no longer applies to me. You have washed it all away. You made my sins as white as snow. Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you for, that was the punishment I deserved. Thank you that you did that for me. Thank you that you proved it by rising again from the dead, that you are God. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. No one else could do that, as we saw in the trial. No one else could do that. Only God can claim, I am, and you did that. We thank you, Lord, for doing that for each one of us. Thank you that you've redefined my past. Thank you that you've changed me. When I accepted you into my heart, you changed me from the person I was to the person I am. And you're continually to change me. And that I have a future and a hope, not only in this life, but for eternity. Lord Jesus, thank you that you went and did that for me, that I have eternity with you in heaven, not because of anything I did, but because of what you did. Thank you for buying me at that price. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I just now invite every one of you to just quietly talk to the Lord on your own. Thank you again, Lord Jesus, for this time. We praise you and thank you. Thank you for Easter. Thank you that you brought hope and that you are hope. We do praise you again in your name. Amen.